You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
Good morning. Welcome to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio 950 AM. I'm Father Greg Sackowitz, pastor of St. Mary of the Woods on Chicago's northwest side on this beautiful, beautiful Friday morning in Chicago, the weekend of the big White Sox-Cubs series. Last week they split 1-1, one game rained out. And this weekend will be at the USL three-game series. And hopefully the weather will hold up, and it's a lot of excitement for the city of Chicago. And this last Friday of the month of June, can't believe that a week from tomorrow is already the July 4th holiday, and summer's going by so fast. We are taking phone calls today here at 312-255-8408, 312-255-8408, here on Relevant Radio, 950 AM on Catholic Community Faith. Time is 9:01 on a Friday morning. With us in studio, we have Deacon Pablo Perez, assistant chaplain at Colby House Jail Ministry, and will present the newest initiative of Colby House known as Sanctuary. It opened June 10th at Assumption Parish on California and is a gallery that showcases the artwork of prisoners and ex-offenders. It is also a spiritual center for Colby volunteers, for families of prisoners, former prisoners, and ex-offenders. It is a place for these groups to pray and be prayed for, as well as a site for those in the community with the same purpose. And with us again in studio, back by popular demand, Deacon Pablo Perez. Good morning, Pablo.
Good morning, Father.
First of all, congratulations that you were ordained to the permanent diaconate a year ago. So a blessed, happy first anniversary to you.
Thank you.
And I know that you are from St. Thomas of Canterbury, growing up as a boy. And Senn High School, class of 84, and again, newly ordained deacon 1 year. You know, maybe for our listeners, Pablo, is explain what is Colby House and how did it get its beginning?
Okay, Colby House is a jail ministry within the Archdiocese of Chicago, and the beginning of this was almost 25 years ago.
It was in 1983 with the late Cardinal Bernardin.
Cardinal Bernardin, which actually it was going to be Larry Craig, which was the director at that time. He was going to put Colby only, but then Cardinal Bernardin said Colby House.
And that would be after Maximilian Colby, the saint, from the concentration camp who gave his life for another prisoner to live. I think it was back in 1943 or 44.
Yes, that's why we chose St. Maximilian Colby, because that's our patron of the prisoners, you know, and he gave himself his life for somebody.
Well, let me ask you this, Pablo.
Yes.
As a deacon for the Archdiocese of Chicago, there are so many different ministries you could be involved in, but you have chosen or responded to the call of Colby House Prison Ministry. And you told me off the air, people were saying to you, don't take that on as a ministry, the jail ministry, it's way too difficult. But what touched your heart to say, no, this is where the Lord is calling me?
Okay, what touched my heart was I had to do this as part of my formation as a deacon, 30 hours back in 2006. And I was fortunate to, in the orientation evening, I was able to meet Father Larry Craig, which was the director. And he said something real impacting to me that he said, when you go in there, in that jail, and you go visit with those guys, I want you to see Christ's face in each one of those. And to me, that was impacting enough, like, how would I be able to do that?
And ironically, that Father Larry Craig spoke those words to your class as you were preparing for the diaconate, and 1 week later, he died.
Yes.
He died a week later, because you even said to me off the air that I met Father Larry Craig, who was very heavily involved with Colby House, part of Cook County, but the jail ministry. And a week after he gave that talk to the deacons in training, that he died suddenly, found dead in his room at a very young age. He did great work for the Archdiocese of Chicago. But when he said, when you talk to the prisoners, see the face of Christ in each one of them.
Yep.
And they've been doing that ever since.
Ever since. Every volunteer. That's what I try to say to every volunteer, because I'm also as a chaplain assistant at Kobe House, I'm in charge of all the volunteers. So I shared the same experience. I shared the same comments that he said to me, because I think those words are real impacting for anybody that's coming or interested in this jail ministry, which a lot of concepts as far as this is a real tough ministry. This is hard. That's what was being told to me. This you can't do it. It's too hard.
And I know that Father Arturo Perez is doing a tremendous job as the head of the Colby House as chaplain. But we want to talk a bit about Sanctuary, which is this whole showcase of artwork. But I want to share this couple of paragraphs. And it comes from the June 21st to July 4th, the latest edition of the Catholic New World. It says, "For Victor Lopez, painting became a kind of spiritual therapy while confined in prison for more than 20 years. He was put in Cook County Juvenile Detention Center when he was only 16 years old, and while inside he armed himself with an artist's brush to wrestle with the tempest in his soul. While serving his lengthy prison sentence, painting transformed Lopez from a young man involved in gangs to a man passionate for this form of artistic expression. Painting had such a dramatic impact on his life that upon leaving the prison 23 years later, he continues painting. One of his creations was of Maximilian Kolbe, a Polish priest who was assassinated by the Nazis in a concentration camp during World War II. Today, at the age of 43, Lopez is free and transformed. He lives with the satisfaction of sharing the artistic talents that refined himself while in prison to find a new life." So it's incredible that for this one man, Victor Lopez, 20 years in prison, found painting as a way to express a new life within him. So tell us about this whole new creation called Sanctuary.
Yes, Sanctuary, which Santuario. Also, that's what we're trying to do, be able to have a place where we could come together as a community with ex-offenders, and their family members also that are impacted by this, by having their family members incarcerated. Now they'll have a special place in church at Assumption that they will be able to come and pray together as a community.
No, but now, how did this even come about, Pablo? I mean, whose idea was this whole thing of Sanctuary? Was it your idea? Was it Father Perez's idea?
No, that was actually Father Larry Craig's idea.
Okay.
And he's the one that had this vision, this idea of having this sanctuary at Kobe House at Assumption. And finally, we were able to do it. That's why the blessing, we did it June 10th, which that was his third anniversary of passing away.
And so now this sanctuary is located within Assumption Church. So it's really not a chapel. It's called Sanctuary.
Sanctuary,
but it's also a little thing to add here. It says the goal is to add more artwork and to send some pieces around to parishes of the Archdiocese to raise awareness of prison ministry and to offer parishes an opportunity to pray. This is interesting. To pray for the prisoners and for the victims of crimes. And, you know, people say, why pray for the prisoners? You know, what they have done to put themselves or get themselves in jail, mm-hmm. but to pray for the prisoners as well as for the victims. In the work you've done at Cook County through Kolbe Ministry, maybe share a story or two, Pablo, of working with some of the inmates that have so touched your lives. Because, you know, sometimes we forget that, now granted, with the prisoners, they're there because they have done wrong, terrible wrong. I mean, they're now serving time for crimes committed. But we can't forget they are human beings like us. And they have feelings, and there's remorse on many, many parts. But maybe share a story or two that you've seen just from the inside that we would not know from here.
Actually, there was one, because I'm going into the jail to do my ministry Wednesday evenings and Thursday in the morning and Thursday evening. And this Wednesday evening, we had, to me, it was an impacting encounter with one of the young men there. He's 20 years old. And he's been in and out of jail since he was 14. And he's been shot six times.
He has been shot six times and he's 20 years old.
And he finally came to a chapel service that he, every time he came into jail, he's never gone to a chapel service. But this particular week, he signed up and he came down for service and shared his personal life with us.
And what are some of the things that he shared?
He shared that he lost two of his brothers to the gangs.
Wow.
Two of his brothers, and now he's responsible for his nephews and nieces, but he's in jail right now.
How long will he be there?
He might come out because in Cook County Jail, that's only a detention center. So once they are not serving time yet. So he might come out maybe within the next 6 months or so, depending on his case. But he shared his personal experience with a lot of other guys that were there in the chapel service, and they were able to relate to what he was going through.
So here we are, a young man, 20 years old, has been shot 6 times, been in prison since he was 14 years old. So you can just imagine the upbringing, and it's not blaming his mother or father, but somehow the neighborhood where, you know, I've dealt with gang members who said it's the only way to survive on the street. And then once you get caught up in that life, it's really difficult to get out of it.
And that's exactly his words, what he said. I was trying to survive when I was in my neighborhood. And he said, I didn't blame my mom for it.
And
or my
two
dad.
Of his brothers have been killed.
Yeah.
As gang members.
As gang members. And this is a 20-year-old kid. So wow. I'm there sitting, listening to his story, and I got a son that's 19 years old.
Yeah.
So that could be my kid.
That could be your own son.
And it's like, and that's why it's important for us to go there and be there present and be there with them, be able to listen to them without judging them. And that's what we do at Kobe House. We are present because we go in there and we follow the mandate. I was in prison and you visited me. See, it's that simple. We know they've made real bad mistakes. They have made real bad errors and choices in their lives. That's why they're there. But everybody deserves a chance. And through God's will, they turn their lives around, just like Victor Lopez did. Why? Because we were able to go in there, and one of the volunteers was able to touch him in some of the words that they said to him, and it made him change his life around.
Pablo, if you were to summarize the work of Kolbe House Jail Ministry in a couple of words, what is it that Kolbe House offers the prisoners that without it, this would be lost? So how would you best summarize Kolbe House?
That we are present there when nobody else is present for them.
That's outstanding. So really then, when people have forgotten them, because I'm sure there are some men and women, now grannies at Cook County's detention before they go to jail, get served or sentenced, that people have forgotten about them, have written them off, they have no one. And so Kolbe House, and really you're really taking it from the scripture when Jesus said, you know, did you visit me when I was in prison? Did you feed me when I was poor? Clothe me when I was naked? But see, it seems like even as I'm talking with you this morning, there's such a passion that you are giving your heart to this. And 5 or 10 years ago, if somebody had said to you that you will be doing chaplain work at Cook County Jail through Kolbe House Jail Ministry, you would have said, you're nuts.
Exactly.
Am I right?
That would have been my response.
And then is it, now mentioned in the last few minutes, we talked off the air about the connection with St. John of the Cross in Western Springs. Say something about that.
Yes, St. John of the Cross parish that we've been working with real close. In October of last year, Deb contacted me, and I was just there for a month. She's like, I want to know more about Kolbe House, and we want to know how St. John the Cross is able to help you with. And from that point on, it has been such a great relationship that they're not only in their donations, but in their time that they've been given at the Kolbe House with helping us out.
So people from St. John the Cross have come down to be working with you. Are they visiting the prisoners?
Not yet, but they come down to help us update the list, because we work off a list for guys to come down to the
Now, let me ask you, if another parish wanted to get involved with Kolbe Ministry or to make a donation to Kolbe House Jail Ministry, give us a phone number they could call you or your office.
Okay. Yeah, our phone number is 773-247-0070.
That number once again.
773-247-0070.
What about a webpage? Anything?
Webpage. Yes, Kolbe House Jail Ministry .org.
And that would be Kolbe, Kolbe House
Ministry, jail.org.
And again, and I want to thank in a very special way for the first segment of our program, Deacon Pablo Perez, deacon of the Archdiocese of Chicago, a baby deacon from the class of 2008, who is assistant chaplain at Colby House Jail Ministry and the newest initiative of Colby House, known as Sanctuary. It opened up June 10th at Assumption Parish, and it really is a gallery that showcases the artwork of prisoners and ex-offenders. Deacon Pablo Perez, thank you for joining us here on Catholic Community of Faith. God's blessings, our warmest wishes and greetings to Father Arturo Perez for the great work that you both do. God bless, and we're going to take a break here on Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio 950 AM. I'm Father Greg Sackowitz. Stay with us. Be back in a moment, and do not touch that dial.
Time now for a Catholic Festival of Faith news update.
Online registration is now being accepted for this two-day celebration of our faith, scheduled for the Stevens Convention Center in Rosemont on October 16th and 17th. Go to www.catholicfest.org to register and to learn about the speakers, activities, and entertainment being planned. That's www.catholicfest.org.
Stay tuned to Relevant Radio for more Catholic Festival of Faith news updates.
Catholic Charities is providing community health fairs with free medical services to residents of Chicago and the suburbs. Our next fair is scheduled for Saturday, August 22nd at St. Francis of Rome, 1500 South 59th Court in Cicero. The health fairs are open to the public and offer various medical screenings, dental exams, immunizations, and general physicals for adults and children. Local social service providers will be in attendance, offering a one-stop shop approach for families in need of assistance. Volunteers are needed to do a variety of tasks at the fairs, including helping to register participants and guide them from station to station. Please call 312-655-7298 for more information. That's 312-655-7298. We hope you take advantage of our Catholic Charities Community Health Fairs.
Welcome back to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio, 950 AM. Time is 9:17 on this beautiful White Sox-Cubs weekend opening game this afternoon at the USL. You can kind of tell that I'm into baseball, right, Brian? He and I are both big White Sox fans. But the only time I cheer against the Cubs is when they play the White Sox. I want to see them win, as long as they don't play the White Sox. Now, and our engineer cannot disagree with me more. Now, I'm not one of those Sox fans that cheers against the Cubs. I only do when they face the White Sox. It's good for the city, Chicago, and both teams right now are struggling, but it's still a long way to go. We have with us this segment of the program here on Relevant Radio, 950 AM, and I can see our producer, Diane Dunnigan, is running around back there trying to get different things done. We have Vicky Tufano, a pastoral associate at Ascension Parish in Oak Park and chairperson of the board of the North American Forum on the Catechumenate. And we'll have a big gathering at the Catholic Theological Union of the NAFC Monday, June 29th until July 2nd, entitled The Initiation Experience Beginnings Plus. The Institute will present the vision of the RCIA, which is the Rite of Christian Initiation of Adults. Participants will learn about the steps and periods of the rite and learn skills necessary for local implementation. Vicky Tufano, welcome to the program this morning.
Thank you, Father Sackowitz. Glad to be here.
And the thing is, now maybe, as I mentioned, we hear the term RCIA, the Rite of Christian Initiation of Adults.
Right.
For our listeners, what is all that?
All of that is one of the rites of the church. It is the process by which the Catholic Church brings somebody from a kind of unbaptized, uncatechized situation into full membership, full belief into the Roman Catholic community through the sacraments of baptism, confirmation, and Eucharist, through a gradual process by which they get to know not only the teachings of the church, but the community. They learn to have a deeper relationship with Jesus Christ and learn to be full, conscious, active members of the Catholic community.
And what's very interesting is that for many, many years, the whole RCI process had been lost.
Yes.
But after Vatican II had been really recaptured, and going back to the earliest community where people went through a whole journey, a whole process to the Easter sacraments. And what's interesting, we talk about the sacraments of initiation, which are baptism, confirmation, culminating with Eucharist.
Exactly.
And that's so important. Now, where I'd like to have people jump in on the conversation at 312-255-8408, 312-255-8408. If you yourself have been through the RCIA, please give us a call and tell us the experience. Let me ask you this, Vicki, because I'm involved with, in fact, in charge of the RCIA at St. Mary of the Woods. Mm-hmm. And in the work that you do, how have people come to you? I mean, a lot of times it's personal invitation, you know, about
yes.
becoming a Catholic. And we're talking people who may be of a different faith,
yes.
Baptist, Lutheran, Methodist, people who have never been baptized,
right.
people who are baptized Catholic but have never completed the sacraments of initiation.
Right.
How do people come to your door?
They come by many ways. Sometimes they've had an experience in their life where they realize there's something missing. They've had a death, or they've had something terrible happen in their lives, or something maybe not so terrible, and realize, I need a stronger foundation in my life. And they may live in proximity to the Catholic Church. They may have heard of the Catholic Church. They may have been searching for a long time. And so they finally get up the courage to make the phone call or to show up on the doorstep.
Now, one interesting story that I can remember with my involvement with the RCIA was a woman who came to me, had never been baptized,
mm-hmm.
and said, I would like to become Catholic. And I asked her why. She said, I came from a family with a profound sense of being loved, loving mother, loving father, but they themselves were never baptized in any religion or raised in any
right.
faith. So she said, even when I was a girl, as much as I felt loved by my mother and father, there was something missing in my life.
Yes.
At the age of about 28 or 30, she came to me and said, I want to become Catholic because there's a void, something missing in my life. As much as I love my parents,
right.
there was something lacking from my childhood.
Absolutely. People know that there is more, that there is more than what they see, than what they experience. And as we get older and experience some of the deeper mysteries of life, love, birth, marriage, death, we often get a sense that there's something beyond what we can see and touch and feel.
What I find, Vicki, you just said that's interesting, is that a lot of times people say to me that, especially if it's in a mixed religion, Catholic, Lutheran, Catholic, Baptist, whatever, they choose to raise the child with no faith.
Yes.
Where they say, when our daughter gets old enough, he or she can make their own decision. And I say, you are really taking the wrong approach, because somehow you need from that earliest moment to somehow focus, to lock in, to raise your child in an atmosphere of love and faith.
Right.
And I always say good parenting does two things. Good parenting gives deep roots in the soil of the faith, and good parenting gives wings. The children will fly. They will leave the nest.
Yes, they will. And I think if you are a believer, I don't know how you could not pass on to your child your greatest gift, your faith.
Yeah.
The child will make a decision later in life one way or another, just as if you feed him meat, if he or she wants to become a vegetarian later
yeah.
in life, they'll do that. But you're feeding the child, you're nourishing the child, you're giving them a strong foundation from which to make these decisions.
And on that note, we're going to take a break here on Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio, 950 AM. I'm Father Greg Sackwitz, along with Vicki Tufano, a pastoral associate at Ascension Parish in Oak Park and the chairperson of the board of the North American Forum on the Catechumenate. We'll be back. Our phone number is 312-255-8408, and do not touch that dial.
The cemetery ministry is a core ministry of our Catholic faith tied to the corporal works of mercy. Cardinal George says, "It's comforting to know that our Catholic cemeteries are caring for the remains of our loved ones awaiting the resurrection. There are 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries willing to help you during times of loss. Call 708-449-6100 for assistance. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
Choosing an elementary school for your child is one of the biggest decisions you will ever make to shape your child's future. So why pick a Catholic school?
I want my kids to learn more than the three R's. They need a faith-based education so they make good decisions.
I want my son and daughter to go to college. At Catholic schools, attendance and graduation rates are nearly 100%. And when these kids graduate, they go to college.
My teacher is so cool. She knows who I am. She helps me when I have trouble figuring things out.
My son is in the number. The student-teacher ratio is 18 to 1, and Catholic school teachers are really dedicated.
I want my daughter to feel welcome, to be safe.
The test scores are well above the national average. Look out, college. Here they come.
Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Schools to learn more about the great benefits of a Catholic education. Invest in your child's future. Make your child a winner for life.
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 a.m. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
Welcome back to Catholic Community of Faith. I'm Father Greg Sackowitz here on Relevant Radio 950 a.m. Our phone number, 312-255-8408. 255-8408, 312. And if any questions you have regarding the whole RCIA, if you yourself have been through the RCIA process, give us a call, tell us what it was like and from what parish. If you are thinking about joining the Catholic Church and maybe have a question about that, you know, please give us a call here on Relevant Radio 950 on this beautiful Friday morning. Time is coming up on 9:27 on a Friday morning. Beautiful, less humidity here in Chicago. We have with us as our guest Vicky Tufano, a pastoral associate at Ascension Parish in Oak Park and chairperson of the board of the North American Forum on the Catechumenate. Vicky, starting Monday is a tremendous several days of a group or program entitled The Initiation Experience Beginnings Plus. What is that?
Well, that's what we call an institute. It's a four-day experience for those who in the parish are in charge of bringing people to the faith through the Christian initiation process. And it's a wonderful blend of teaching, of reflection, of learning methods, and then of experiencing the ritual itself. And so the forum has a wonderful teaching process, a very adult-oriented way of learning. We teach the head, but we also teach the body. We teach the experience of it. And then what's very important, what's often missing, is that we reflect on the experience. So it, in a sense, mimics the way that we think that catechumens and candidates should be brought into the church, that we teach them the teachings of the church, they experience the rituals and the prayers, and then they reflect on what does that mean in light of what they've been taught about the tradition of the church, in light of Scripture. And that's very much the method that they use, that Forum uses, to present the rite of Christian initiation of adults.
When we talk about the whole RCIA, it's really a journey. It's really a process. You know, that great line that, you know, life is a journey, life is a mystery. One of the best lines I've ever heard is that life is a mystery to be lived and not a problem to be solved.
Exactly.
And so the Lord takes exactly where we are. And also people need to know the word catechesis. Mm-hmm. So it means passing on the faith, but it also means to echo or resound. We're going to go to the phones here, and we have Sean. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith. Good morning, Sean. Where are you calling from?
Palatine.
Oh, all the way out in Palatine. How is it out there in the old Palatine area?
A lot better today than it was yesterday.
A lot better. So what's your comment for Vicky and the listeners this morning, Sean?
Well, I'm a convert from Baptist. What year? It was 2002 when I did it. And I don't know how other parishes do it, but I went through at St. Thomas of Villanova.
Mm-hmm. In Palatine.
Yes, I learned a lot going through the entire process, but the part that I thought that was the best is that when you go through certain segments, the rite of sending, and, of course, the evening of the vigil and all, the individuals, the candidates, were told absolutely nothing. You were totally blind to what was going to happen. Your sponsors were the only one that knew what was coming on and going. They did that. Excuse me. So you would experience it and not know anything about it.
Let me ask you this, Sean. What made you become a Catholic?
Believe it or not, you know the phrase, actions speak louder than words?
Yes.
It was the actions of my wife.
Wow.
During a very hard time financially, she went to Mass every day for the 6 weeks of Lent, and I've seen myself going through an unexplainable amount of stress, and I've seen an amount of peace come to her, and I'm like, what the heck is she doing over there? I got no idea, because the church, when we were living at that time, we were living like a block away from the church.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, what are they doing down there that is giving her so much peace? So she never asked me to go. She never wanted me to go or anything. She never suggested that I go. I just told her one day, and I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think it was on Easter Sunday, I said, I'm going with you today.
Wow.
And that was it.
And so really it was a case in which you saw the peacefulness of your wife, not hammering away saying you must become Catholic and come with me, but you just saw a peace within her that was lacking in your own life and said, I want a part of this.
Right, and the best part about the whole thing is that my wife, she's a cradle Catholic, and she went through baptism, First Communion, and as you said, that's where she stopped, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So she never went through confirmation, so both of us went through the entire RCI process together.
That is marvelous.
It's more enjoyable because when you went through your classes on Sunday, a lot of the other candidates, they were the only ones in their family, and they had no one around them that they could talk to. They'd call their sponsor and all that. But not only did, you know, we have our sponsors, but I had my wife, obviously, in the same house. My mother-in-law was her sponsor. So there was three of us that had constant communication on what we were learning and going through and the readings of the week.
What a beautiful and deepening experience to have as a married couple.
Yeah, that, Sean, that is a great story. And so you would really tell any of our listeners who are thinking about becoming Catholic is take the plunge.
Yeah, that's probably, besides getting married, obviously, and having kids, that's probably the biggest thing in my life.
That's marvelous. You are like a living, walking testimony. I want to thank you, Sean, for that beautiful sharing and phone call here on Catholic Community Faith of Relevant Radio, 950 AM. But really, Sean, just listening to your story. And Vicki, you listen to the story of Sean, and there are many Seans out there.
Absolutely.
Where have been touched, you know, through their spouse,
yes,
a neighbor, something. Well, any other phone calls here at 312-255-8408. Any other listener to share their own Sean story has brought them into the faith, and I just want to say thank you very much. We're going to go to a break here on Catholic Community Faith on Relevant Radio, 950 AM. I'm Father Greg Sackwas, along with our guest, Vicki Tofano. Stay with us. We'll be back right after a break.
The Chicago Catholic Scripture School is now accepting applications for classes starting in September throughout the Archdiocese. This is our Bible study program for adults. Students come together weekly to pray and study the Word of God with teachers who are themselves strong Catholics with an extensive background in Scripture and theology. Year 1 classes will be held at St. Anne's in Barrington, St. Joseph in Libertyville, St. Julie Billiard in Tinley Park, St. Teresa of Avila in Lincoln Park, and St. Philip Neri in the South Shore neighborhood. There will be a year 1 class in Spanish at St. Cecilia in Mount Prospect and Precious Blood on Chicago's west side. And our first scripture school in Polish will be held at St. Hyacinth Basilica. For more information or to register for the Chicago Catholic Scripture School, visit www.catechesis-chicago.org or call 312-534-8053. That's 312-534-8053 and www.catechesis-chicago.org.
The Archdiocese of Chicago has launched a blog and wants you to join in the conversation. Here's Cardinal Francis George talking about modern communications.
Church was in radio when it first started and then television. Now with the blogs and the internet and all, the church has to be there too for the same reason St. Paul was in the town square in Athens and Corinth, the Areopagus, where people would come together and listen to everybody talk. Well, that Areopagus is now electronic.
Cardinal George will rotate with other archdiocesan leaders in posting their thoughts on faith-based topics and taking part in this electronic dialogue. Visit our blog at www.archchicago.org. Read what Catholic leaders have to say and become part of the discussion. That's www.archchicago.org. We hope to hear from you soon.
We'll see how this works. I'm curious myself. I'm looking forward to it.
Welcome back to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio, 9:50 a.m. Time is 9:35 on this beautiful Friday morning here in Chicago. And our phone number, 312-255-8408. 312-255-8408. If you are a convert to Catholicism, if you've been through the whole RCIA, which is the Rite of Christian Initiation of Adults, please give us a call. And just like Sean talked about a few minutes ago, his profound journey through the whole RCIA, tell us your own story, or if you have a question regarding the RCIA, please call. Vicki, during the break, you made a wonderful comment after you were listening to Sean. Share with our listeners.
Well, I heard the story one time of an older man who, towards the end of his life, came into the Catholic Church. He'd been married to a Catholic for many years. And somebody said, well, why haven't you done this before? And he said, basically, because nobody ever asked. I think it's so important that Catholics understand the beautiful tradition that we have to share, the depth of faith that we have to share, not be afraid to show it in our lives, but also to be explicit. If we see somebody who might be interested, might be looking, might be asking a question, just to invite them to come to church with us, or invite them to call the parish staff, or let them know who to know. The invitation is so important. The invitation means more when it comes from another person in the pew.
And I think sometimes we forget that all it takes is inviting someone
absolutely
to think about coming to the first meeting. Now, we can say, well, why don't they do this on their own? They're not babies. They're adults, and let them do that. But when we think about it in life, to be personally asked to be involved in a ministry. Right. You know, you really, when you get involvement in a church, it usually does not happen from reading the bulletin. It
right.
can come that way, but there's something about an invitation to another person says, join us in this ministry, be a part of it, or join becoming a Catholic. We're going to back to the phones here on Relevant Radio, 9:50 a.m. on Catholic Community of Faith. Our phone number is 312-255-8408. Carol, welcome to the program, and you have a question.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
I don't think you'll ever get this question again.
Well, okay.
Okay.
Right. Stump the clergy. Okay, let's give it a try.
I made my communion. I went to class in the Catholic Church. But they sent me back because my father is Ukrainian. So they sent me to the Ukrainian church to actually go through the communion procession. And I'm making it with children I didn't even know. And I was told because I'm of the Eastern Rite, mm-hmm. because the Ukrainian Church is connected with Catholic Church.
But Eastern versus Western Rite.
That I didn't, I automatically made my confirmation when I was baptized.
Correct.
So I never went through the confirmation classes. And I'm very involved in the Catholic Church. I feel like I missed out on knowing my religion. The only thing I knew is from the masses. And I'm up in age, and I really feel, is it possible for someone who's already Catholic to go through RCIA to learn, or do they ever do that?
Well, thing is, then you were baptized in the Eastern Rite.
Correct.
And the day you were baptized, you also received confirmation.
That's what they told me.
But now, if I'm not mistaken, does the Eastern Rite in your church, did you also get your first communion at infancy?
No, I went to the Catholic Church for classes.
Which was later on when you were older.
When I was like
eight years old. I'll tell you what you could do is, you could easily go through the whole program, and again, you would not be confirmed because you were confirmed and you are Catholic, but I think to be part of the class, there's no reason why you couldn't do that.
I could be part of the class, but then not go through the
actual confirmation.
Oh, that would be great.
Yeah, and the thing is, first of all, because what's nice about being part of a class is that you journey with people who are different parts of their own life, moving toward the Easter Vigil, but to be just a part of that group, which means you get to meet new people, make some new friends, have questions answered. No one's going to stop you from being part of that.
Right, absolutely. But she is a fully initiated Eastern Rite Catholic and has all the rights and privileges thereof. But certainly, if she wants to deepen her faith to know more about the Christian faith, certainly in the Catholic tradition,
talk to the pastor, talk to the person who's in charge of the program. And Carol, I think it'd be great to be part of it.
Oh, that's wonderful.
If you have any questions about that, you can always get a hold of me at St. Mary of the Woods. But I'm sure you can just call
me. I know that church. I used to live near there.
You did?
Okay.
No kidding.
And thank you so much.
Thank you, Carol, for calling here on Relevant Radio 950. Thank you for that phone call. And
have a blessed day.
Have a blessed, blessed day and weekend yourself. We are taking more phone calls here at 312-255-8408 here on Catholic Community of Faith. And, you know, Vicki, Carol is a wonderful example of someone who wants to deepen their faith. And I think, and I can't stress enough to our listeners, please, please, in your own parish, if they offer adult education formation programs, take it. We have this crazy notion that when someone says to me, well, I know that everything there is about the faith. I went to Catholic grammar school, high school, and college. This was maybe 20, 30 years ago. But I say, would you think about going to a doctor who last read a manual in 1980 or a lawyer who last looked at a journal in 1990? Why do we think in our Catholic faith there isn't something more to learn or changing or evolving, you know, regarding sacraments, regarding Christ, regarding moral theology? If you see something in the bulletin, go to it.
Right.
To learn.
Right. And you bring so much more. As you get older, you bring so much more to it, some ongoing teaching, your own experience, and you can see how God has been working in your life. The initiation process isn't the end. It's the beginning.
Exactly. Yeah. Stress it. Now, we only got about 1 minute here,
okay.
Vicki. Tell us again, the initiation experience, Beginnings Plus, to be held at Catholic Theological Union, June 29th to July 2nd.
Right.
Give a phone number in case anybody out there would like to be part of it, even though it's getting to be the 11th hour.
If you're still interested, it's area code 202-884-9758.
That number once again.
Area code 202-884-9758, and that's the Washington, D.C. office.
I want to thank Vicki Tufano, a pastoral associate at Ascension Parish in Oak Park, and I know Father Larry McNally is the pastor and a good friend. And Vicki is also the chairperson of the board of the North American Forum on the Catechumenate. Thank you for joining us here on Relevant Radio 950 Catholic Community of Faith. Vicki, keep up the great work. And again, our phone number, 312-255-8408. Stay with us. We'll be back after a break, and do not touch that dial.
Thank you.
If you haven't read the Catholic New World lately, you're in for quite a surprise. It's bigger, bolder, and better than ever before.
The Catholic New World is a rich and diverse resource for Catholics throughout the Archdiocese of Chicago. It carries stories of faith, hope, and inspiration. Our most read column is written by our publisher, Cardinal Francis George, our shepherd, teacher, and leader.
Our columnists provide support in spirituality and evangelization, and you'll want to browse the Around the Archdiocese page, your gateway to Catholic activities throughout Cook and Lake Counties.
In our next few issues of the Catholic New World, enjoy our Finding Grace series, The Seven Deadly Sins and Their Heavenly Virtues.
Visit our website at www.catholicnewworld.com. View our photo gallery, catch up on the latest news, and while you're there, subscribe to the Catholic New World or call 312-534-7777.
Better than ever, subscribe now to the Catholic New World.
You're invited to watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Here's host Graziano Marcheschi.
Would you like to discuss faith-based issues with Cardinal George and other archdiocesan leaders? Stick around. We'll tell you about our newly launched blog. We'll visit with two organizers of the Catholic Festival of Faith and tell you how to register for this wonderful October event. And Catholic school children put their artistic talents to good use by drawing anti-drug messages. These stories and more are coming your way in this latest edition of The Church, the Cardinal, and You.
For for several interesting stories about the Archdiocese, please watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Radio TV for the time and cable channel in your area. That's www.archchicago.org. The Church, the Cardinal, and You. Compelling television about your Archdiocese.
Welcome back to Catholic Community Faith on Relevant Radio, 9:50 a.m. Time is exactly 9:45 on this gorgeous Friday morning in Chicago. I'm Father Greg Sack. What's our phone number? 312-255-8408. Give us a call as we now are going to kind of switch gears a little bit. And with us via the phone, Mark Mastroianni, a member of St. Edna's Parish in Arlington Heights and inventor. We'll discuss how he came to create a unique combination of the Bible and technology called God on the Go. This is a USB flash drive containing the complete Bible in the New Revised Standard Version and the New Testament of the New American Bible. Mark, welcome to Catholic Community of Faith.
Father Greg, thanks so much for having me. I really appreciate your time.
Well, this is terrific, and I have, thanks to our engineer, Brian Brock, God on the Go in front of me. Now, I'm not exactly the most computer literate guy, but I hit Bible Index and different topics come up. Mark, please explain to our listeners this tremendous creation on your part of God on the Go.
Well, let's start back in January of 2008 when I was kneeling in prayer at morning mass at St. Edna's Parish, and I was praying to God, how can I bring my, you know, 13, 14 years worth of product development experience and my faith in the Catholic Church together. And I was thinking through, it was very providential. The Holy Spirit was telling me about how I, you know, access the faith on a regular basis. I was going to the usccb.org website on a regular basis for days that I didn't make it to daily mass to read the lectionary. And I was thinking to myself, what if someone, or what if I was not able to access the internet? Would I be able to carry something that's similar to the usccb.org website that's accessible to a laptop or desktop computer to continue deepening and enriching my faith? And that's where I found an opportunity here for God on the Go, a USB flash drive that you can plug into any PC, and now this summer we'll have a version for the Mac, to read the Bible, the lectionary, and search by topics.
And so really when you go to God on the Go and you talk about, it's got the home page, Bible Index, My Favorites, Daily Reading, but you have the entire Bible for someone to pop into it and go to any verse of the entire Bible. Is that correct?
That's exactly right. And folks like myself, I don't know precisely where to go in the Bible, book, chapter, and verse. But folks who are in either academic study or Bible study, they might be told, okay, go to this precise book, chapter, and verse. And God on the Go allows you to do that. If you know where you're going, you can go there using God on the Go. But also, if you don't know where you're going, but you have a particular emotion or topic in mind, go to the topic index, and it gives you a list of roughly 50 different topics.
In fact, I'm looking at it right now. We talk about adversity, afraid, anger, anxiety, anxious, backsliding, bereaved, conceit, consciousness of sin, and I'm just up to the letter C. And is this something that you put together topic by topic?
No, this was actually a recreation of a resource that my parish associate pastor, Father Steve Dombrowski, pointed me out to on the internet. It was actually a Protestant website that I actually borrowed the book, chapter, and verse from, but I'm pointing to our Catholic Bible. God on the Go uses either the New American Bible, New Testament, which our USCCB tells us is the version of the Bible we're to be using on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm. Because now part of it for our listeners is that it speaks, sure, of language. You know, we don't speak in terms of thous and thus and all that, these and thous. But it's in our everyday language that we can easily comprehend and understand.
Absolutely. We also have a version for the NRSV. This is a version that, you know, is very frequently used around the country by Catholics in Bible study and religious education coursework.
Called the New Revised Standard Version.
Yeah, NRSV is an alternate version of the product that we do offer.
Mm-hmm. And then let me ask you, how'd you get the title God on the Go? How'd you come up with that one?
Yeah, I was just thinking of something that was catchy. You know, I took a lead from that name from another service that's provided through the Diocese of Cleveland, through the parish Our Lady of Guadalupe. They have a product called Mobile Gabriel. And what does that really tell you? It tells you it's something in motion, and it's something about your faith. So I wanted to convey the idea that this is something that's faithful and brings you closer to God, even though we have busy lifestyles these days.
Now, it's very interesting. I'm reading something here. It says, what students are saying about God on the Go. And here's a thought of one teenager. I thought that God on the Go made things much easier. Most teenagers are on the computers most of the time, so chances are they will use God on the Go more than the Bible. It works faster and easier. I liked it a lot. So what I find interesting is, you know, Mark, we do live in a world that is computer technology based, and now I'm a semi-computer moron, and I'll admit it. I'm 56 years old. I know the computer a little bit, but I was raised with the number two pencil from grammar school, and somehow you talk to young people who are so computer literate. What you have done is you have really used a medium that speaks to our young people today.
Well, thank you. I think so. I mean, the statistics don't lie. 70% of four-year-olds have used a computer. 70% of four-year-olds. And
by the way, that percentage keeps going up.
Absolutely. And the typical college graduate this year will have, on average, just on average, created 5 of their own web pages and sent 250,000 electronic messages between text and email.
And this is by
these
what
are
age?
People, these are college graduates this year.
I mean, that is astounding. And you, really, in the workforce, you can't even think about getting a job unless you show some computer technology skills.
Absolutely.
And then would
so
you,
for the very young, this application does teach some basic mouse and keyboard skills, but infuses the faith in that practice. And for older students and for young adults and adults young at heart, it's faith enrichment and Bible study.
Now, let me ask you this. How is your flash drive version of the Bible good for the environment?
Thank you. I was going to bring that up.
Now, I want to thank Diane Dunnigan for putting that on my computer screen so Diane gets the credit. But go. Why, how's it good?
Well, thank you. Yes. Not only does it save the trees from being cut down for use in the paper for the paper Bible, but it also, in the publishing industry, there's a little secret that not too many people know of. The worst, most toxic ink in the publishing industry is used in Bible production, and it's because of the thin pages used in Bible production. The ink needs to dry very fast, so we're preventing this very toxic ink from being used. Also, the electronics that are used in this flash drive comply with European recyclable electronic standards. So everything that you're holding in your hand, in the palm of your hand, can be recycled.
You know, it never dawned on me that when you pick up a Bible and it's the number one selling book in the world, that you're right, the pages are thinner because it's such a thick, thick book, so you couldn't have that quality or size of paper, but didn't realize that the ink used has to be faster drying and it's the most toxic. I never heard of that.
Yeah, it's true. And, you know, students, the other thing we've found is that students are really enjoying using this flash drive as a flash drive also. It functions as a normal memory storage device just like any other flash drive. It's got 90% free space. So you can use it to store your documents, your homework, your photographs, your music, and hold your Bible. So so it still serves the purpose of that flash drive that you might have on your keychain or in your pocket.
So it's interesting, as you think about when I was young, I'd carry a Bible to class in the seminary, and now how big is this God on the go?
Yeah, it's about an inch and a half long by about a half inch wide by a quarter inch thick. It looks like a small pack of gum, and it sticks into any USB port on your desktop or laptop computer.
I mean, that's just amazing. You know, so I'm carrying my Bible that's about 1 inch big on this USB flash drive. And you know, now people need to know that it's published by Acta Publications. It's for sale in bookstores and through the publisher, which is www.actapublications.com. www.actapublications.com. And via Mark's website, which is what, Mark?
That would be wordofgodtogo.com.
Again, we'll say that one more time.
wordofgodtogo.com.
And by phone could be 773-558-8299. Is that correct?
That's right.
And that's good. What else? Let me ask you this. Now, God on the Go contains a link to the daily readings on the U.S. CCB website. Is that correct?
That is correct. It's the only part of our product that requires internet access of the computer you're reading the product on. So, yes, it does send you to the USCCB.org website for whichever day of the week you click on our calendar.
Now, maybe for our listeners, I gave one comment from a teenager about God on the Go. What are some of the other comments you're hearing from people? And also, how many have been sold to this point?
Okay, so some quotes from some clergy have been, you know, this is a new product that reaches out to our young and technology-savvy faithful where they live and breathe every day. Those quotes are coming from people like the recent director of evangelization for the Archdiocese of Chicago, Father Jordan Kelly.
Mm-hmm.
Father David Trask, the executive director of Mobile Gabriel, is saying this is consistent with the mission of Mobile Gabriel, getting the Word of God to go on new mobile forms of technology media. And we're just getting a very positive response when people see us in trade shows. They said, wow, I wish I came up with that idea.
And how many have been sold to this point? Any idea, Mark?
Yes, we've sold 1,100 units of the New American Bible New Testament version, and we've sold about 300 of the NRSV Full Bible version.
And this has been since when?
We've gotten approval for the NAB back in December of 2008. And approval to start selling NRSV March of this year.
And what is the cost, by the way?
Sure. The New Testament NAB is $24.95,
mm-hmm.
and the Full Bible NRSV is $39.95.
Now, do you have anything else coming up in the future, any new creations?
Absolutely. We've got some exciting things coming out for the iPhone this summer. We've got an application that can be used on the BlackBerry smartphone device in the early fall into the Christmas season, and we're constantly coming up with new ideas thanks to our excited and passionate customers and friends.
So the thing is, you have really, in a sense, taken off with a creation with your own technology background, but focused it for a Bible, not a computer Bible, but to really the size of like 1 inch. And you can literally carry your Bible around anywhere you go. And so I just want to say again, it's God on the Go. And the phone number would be 558-8299-773, area code. And it's God on the Go. And I want to thank in a very special way Mark Mastroianni, a member of St. Edna's Parish in Arlington Heights, an inventor, who has discussed with us a unique combination of the Bible and technology called God on the Go. So, Mark, thank you very much for joining us here on the program this morning. Special thanks to our producer, Diane Dunnigan, who's done a marvelous job, and to our great engineer, Brian Hockey Hitman Brock. To all, have a blessed weekend. Go White Sox!
This is Cardinal Francis George. Thank you for being with us this past hour on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Join us every day, Monday through Friday, as the Archdiocese of Chicago presents the Catholic Community of Faith. Have a wonderful day and God bless you.